Hallelujah. The psalmist said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man, thou might visitest him." Amen. Aren't you glad God is concerned with all of our lives in here? God's concerned with each and every single one of us in here today. No, and not one of us more than the other. Amen. God loves us in here this morning. It's wonderful to serve a God that's like that. And I love the 27th Psalm. I was in here one night, one evening, and Miss Susie was doing the books, and Miss Lillian was helping her there. You know, they were doing, you know, serve in that capacity here at the church, and many a nights they'll stay a while after church, just getting those things settled. And I was in here one night just hanging out and fellowshipping and just trying not to get in their way, and we were just talking about the Lord. And you hear this phrase, it goes around, they say, "Well, what's your life verse?" Or if you had one verse that's really special to you, or have one verse that, you know, kind of sums up the testimony of your life, or one that's particularly special to you. And I began to think, you know, I have my favorite verse in the Bible is Romans 5:8, and the Lord used 2 Timothy chapter number 2, the first four verses of that. That's what He used when He called me to preach, and that's special to me. But if I were to say this morning that I had a life verse, we'd find it here in the 27th Psalm, and it's what God's led me to preach on here this morning, and I pray that it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. David, nicknamed the Sweet Psalmist of Israel. The Sweet Psalmist of Israel. This book that we have in our hands, this book of Psalms, this collection of 150 songs to God, this is still today the national hymn book for the people of Israel, for the Jewish people. They still today, they sing these songs of David. They still today, they sing these songs in the temple. They sing these songs in their daily worship. And the 27th Psalm in particular, I love, because the very first time I read it, God spoke to my heart and God comforted me with it and God helped me with it. And I pray that it might be a blessing and encouragement and help to you as well. And here this morning, the Bible says in the 27th Psalm, if you're there, say amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and mine foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Let's pray. Lord, we love You this morning. God, we thank You for everybody that You brought out to Your house, God. And Lord, as Your word goes forth, I pray that it wouldn't fall on deaf ears. God, I pray that You prepare my heart and my mind, even in this moment, Lord, to preach Your word in such a way, God, that it would just help us this morning and encourage us this morning. Lord, help me to communicate what is so deep in my heart, Father, Lord, and what You've shown me through these scriptures in such a way that my friends can understand it this morning, God, and we'll give You the thanks, the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love the 27th Psalm. I love all of the Psalms of the David. I love anywhere you go in this book. It's all good. Amen. I love it. But this particular psalm is special to my heart. You study the life of David, and I'll have you to know that David is mentioned more times in the Bible than anyone else. David's name is mentioned more times in the Bible than anyone else. So when God is talking to us about David, and when God is showing us things in the lives of David, and when God is revealing to us David's heart through these psalms and through his prayers to God, I believe that God is showing us something of importance. Amen. If God thought it important enough to put it in that Bible that many times, God is obviously trying to teach you and I something about this man. Amen? And I think I've told this story in the church before, but I've only lived one life, so I only have so many life experiences. Amen? But I remember we were getting ready. We had a clothing pantry at Taze Valley, and we were getting ready, and I was speaking with this lady at the church, Her name was Miss Jean Fallor, and we began to talk about King David, and she made this statement to me, and I haven't ever forgotten it. She said, "Wouldn't it be wonderful to walk as closely with God as David did? To have the kind of fellowship with God that David did, to walk and to talk with David, or to walk and to talk with God the way that David did." And make no mistake that in your Bible, we know that David made his mistakes. We know that David did some wrong things, but all of us do those things ourselves on a daily basis and sin against God. And when we find this man David in the 27th Psalm, what we find, I believe, is still a man after God's own heart, still a man who earnestly and honestly wants to desires the will of God for his life, and he wants to seek after God and please Him. Amen. We see a man who has great fellowship with God. And just in the four verses that we've read this morning, I see just a few things about David's relationship with God and how God can help us to have that same relationship with Him. The first thing that I see is David's defeat of fearfulness. David's defeat of fearfulness. I want you to look what the Bible says in verse number 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." He goes on to say, he says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though war rise against me, in this will I be confident." When we come to this man David, we need to look at it from his perspective. We're not talking about somebody who just fights average, everyday battles and struggles like you and I might fight. We're talking about a man of war. We're talking about a man who commanded armies of hundreds of thousands of men into battle, into hand-to-hand combat against mighty nations such as the Philistines and such as the Moabites and the Edomites and all these people. And it seemed like Israel and their army and the people of God, they were completely encamped about by people who hated them, who wanted them dead. And when we come to this man David, we need to realize that this was a military leader. This was a man who took many a man into some great and mighty battles, and from the time that David was anointed king of Israel to the time that David died, there was a bullseye on David's back. David was a man who was under a great amount of stress every day. He was under a great amount of fatigue every day. He was a man who was he was very familiar with the heat of the foremost part of the battle. He wasn't one who just sat back in his tent and sipped on his little lemonade with the umbrella in it and just told people what to do and where to go. No, David was a man who was very well acquainted with being down on the forefront of the battleground with a sword in his hand and a buckler in the other, and he slew many a man were slain by the sword of David. David was a man who realized just what it meant to be down in the heat of the battle. Now, I don't know about you guys, but it's a lot easier to say something than it is to do some things. And I'm not so sure that some of us in here this morning might not tuck tail and run if we were to find ourselves in the same situation that David found himself in. And so David, he uses this battle, he uses this war as an analogy when he talks about his defeat of fearfulness. Amen. He talks about God and how God can strengthen him and how God can uphold him. And he says these words. He says, "Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Paul told the church, he said, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" I was listening to Brother Billy Kelly the other day, and he said that. And he said, "Now listen, if that's the case, then it doesn't matter who's on your side if God's against you." Amen. There was a defeat of fearfulness that came in David's life. And if I could just be transparent with you here this morning just a little bit, there's times in my life that I get fearful. One of my greatest problems, one of my greatest downfalls, so to say, is I'm one of those people who worries. I worry about things that are never going to happen. I worry about things that I just think about things and stew on things, and I let my mind get to such a place where it makes me completely useless. It makes me completely worried to death. I was reading Paul Chappell the other day, and he said the difference between worrying about something and praying about something is when you worry about something, you fall to pieces, but when you pray about something, you fall into the peace of God. Amen.
Amen.
David said, it doesn't matter what comes against me, I'm not going to fear because God is on my side. God is on my side. And I imagine that under inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, as God would lead David to pen these words, he remembers that first real battle. He remembers stepping out there in the valley of Elah while all these soldiers and all these men, these boys that had grown up into mighty men of war, as he breaks through that first line of the infantry of the soldiers of God, and everybody looks at him and says, "You're crazy. This is going to be messy. You're just going to get slaughtered." And he steps out there with only that sling to stand up against the Philistine, that mighty man of war, a champion of war, as the Bible tells us, that man, Goliath, as he was called. And David steps out there and he takes that sling and he throws that rock. But understand this, that it was not a strong arm from shepherding that took that rock to kill that Philistine. No, it was the strength of God. It was the might of God. It was the power of God that brought down that mighty giant. And there are going to be times in yours and my life where it's going to feel like we have no peace, where it's going to feel like we're overcome with fear, where it's going to feel like we're overcome with the anguish of this world, and the situations might surround us and there's nowhere we can turn. But in those times, we can realize that we have a God that is on our side. We have a God who promised us that He would never leave us, that He would never forsake us, and that we ought to be content with the things that we have because God has promised us enough just alone in His presence. The defeat of David's fearfulness. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear,
amen,
but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That's something that every Christian has to have.
Amen.
The power of God, the passion of God, the peace of God, the love, the sound mind. We have to have those things to be effective for God, and the only place that those things are going to come from is from God Himself.
Amen.
From His Word, from His Spirit, from obedience and yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. David said, it doesn't matter what this world throws at me. His fearfulness has been defeated. Not only do we see the defeat of David's fearfulness, we see David's declaration of faithfulness. Back to verse number 2. "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me." And I love this phrase that David shares right there in verse number 3. "In this will I be confident." David said, "I will stand in confidence knowing that God is faithful." Amen. That God is going to keep His promises. Listen, your best friends, they can let you down. Your siblings, they can let you down. Your spouse, they can let you down. Your preacher, he can let you down. But God cannot and will not ever let you down. Amen. He can't let you down because He won't let you down, and He won't let you down because He can't let you down. Amen. God's Word stands sure even in this very present day and age when the church seems to be an outcast, it seems to be unpopular, and it seems like wickedness and sin is paraded around and put on a pedestal, and it seems like the people of God are dying off in great numbers. I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm glad to report, God is still faithful.
Amen.
God's going to uphold us. The 37th Psalm says, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand."
Amen.
"I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread."
Right.
Amen. David says, God has kept every promise He has made to me. And from that psalm, from the context of what we've read, we can understand that he's writing that in his old age. And might I say, if you read your Bible, God made some big promises to David.
Yes, he did.
God made some very big promises to David. You go over into 2 Samuel chapter number 7. I was reading it this morning about the covenant that God made with David and his seed. That's a big promise. And you know what David says in his old age, in his dying years? He said, God's kept every single one of those promises. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging bread. Amen? The Hebrew writer said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, for he is faithful that promised. Paul, in his dying words, writes to Timothy. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against this day. And you might be a naysayer, and you might be a doubter of God, but let me tell you, friend, you can come up to me, and you can say this and that, and you can share your sob story with me, but it's already too late. God has shown me too many times in my life that he's going to be faithful, that he's going to provide, that he's going to take care of the things that I need. Amen. I'm glad that we serve a faithful God.
Amen.
This morning.
Amen.
David declares the faithfulness of God. He said, in this will I be confident. How confident are we in the faithfulness of God? How confident are we in the words of God? How much do we depend on this book right here? Amen. We talked about it in Sunday school. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Amen. I believe that. I take that literally. We serve a faithful God this morning. And lastly, I'll finish with this thought right here. We've seen David's defeat of fearfulness. We've seen David's desire of fellowship. David's defeat of fearfulness, his declaration of faithfulness. But lastly, in verse number 4, we see David's desire of fellowship. David's desire of fellowship. Look at the words he says. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. You know what David's saying? He's saying, I've commanded mighty armies. He said, I had everything I need. He said, I have this wonderful palace. He said, I have all these servants and these chariots and this gold and this silver and this food. And he said, everybody is at my command and under my command. He said, but one thing have I desired of God, and that's simply Him.
Amen.
To desire God Himself. The revivalist preacher, Leonard Ravenhill, he said this, smart men walked on the moon, daring men walked on the ocean's floor, but wise men walk with God. I hear these stories all the time of the saints of old and of years past and the revival eras. And, you know, part of me, you hear all these stories of all these tent meetings and all these revivals and all these ways that God was moving in a big way. And now I want to see that happen today. It's still the same. We serve the same God today that they did. Amen.
Amen.
And I tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take saints that make up their minds that they are going to desire God with everything in them. That they're going to desire God more than the wealth of this world. More than the platform and the fame of this world. They decide, they make up their minds, Brother Larry, it's not about them. It's not about us. It's about God. And we ought to desire Him with every fiber of our being. I remember I was a little boy when my mom's sister, Regina, she got married to my uncle. His name's Mike. And I remember when they got married, that guy, I mean, to me, he walked on water. I mean, he was just the coolest guy ever. You know, had a real cool car, and he moved down from Pennsylvania. He was a wrestling coach, was a two-time All-American wrestler at Teal College and all this stuff, and I was into sports and all that. And he, just the coolest guy you've ever seen in your life. And I remember I always wanted to be where he was. I always wanted to go to Aunt Jeannie's house so I could hang out with Uncle Mike. I always wanted to be where he was. It didn't matter what he was doing. It doesn't matter where he was. I was attached to him at the hip. I followed him like a shadow, so to say. I just had this desire to be around him, to fellowship with him. And I always wanted his approval. I always wanted to make him happy. I always wanted to do things to please him. When it come time to go home and we'd load up in the car and I'd start going home, I didn't want to leave. I'd cry. I'd be upset. I'd be so sad. I had such a desire to be where he was. You know what David says in these scriptures as he pins them down and he talks about his desire for God? He said, I have all the earthly treasures of this world, Brother Tom. But he said, one thing have I desired. One thing have I desired, Lord. Let's look at what he says. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He simply said, I want to be where God is. I want to be where God is. I tell you, if we had some Christians this morning to make up their mind, they're going to get hungry for God and they want to be where God is and they want to be found pleasing Him and doing whatever they can with their life to lift up and to honor and to glorify Him, God will do something in this place. He said, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, amen, all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. They just want to see Him. The Bible tells us that we ought to earnestly seek His face. Seek the face of God. Seek the presence of God. Seek the power of God in your lives. And I promise you, the Bible says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The same God that brought all those revivals. The same God that answered all those big prayers that we read about in these Christian books of our Christian heroes that we read about, Brother Larry, that very same God who answered all those prayers and went and met all those meetings and saved all those people, that very same God can do that today if we'll make up our minds that we will desire His fellowship to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. The Bible says in 1 Peter, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord, He is gracious. Amen. Once you get a taste of the grace of God, once you get a taste of the presence of God, I heard a preacher say it this way one time. He says, once you've been where the fire is, the smoke just won't do.
Amen.
And if we'll purpose in our hearts, desire God the way that David desired God, we'll see some things happen in our life, in our walk with God, in our fellowship with Him. That fearfulness, it'll be defeated, it'll dissipate, it'll go away. That faithfulness, we'll want to sing the praises of God and proclaim the faithfulness of God everywhere we go. We'll want to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And if we'll desire His fellowship, if we'll seek to magnify Him and to honor Him and to glorify Him with our lives, my friend, He'll do exceeding and abundantly above all that we may ask or think. He'll do so much more for you. He'll use you in a way that you never thought possible. And you might be in here this morning and the devil is working on your heart right now. And he's saying, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. God doesn't want anything to do with somebody like me. You are wrong. You're wrong. God can do anything He wants with anybody He wants because He's God. We need to make the decisions in our hearts to serve Him and to honor Him and to glorify Him and to magnify Him with our lives. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just one moment? With every head bowed and every eye closed, Miss Ruthie's coming to play the piano. I wonder if there's any Christians in here this morning that'll just be honest enough. And it don't matter what the person next to you thinks. It don't matter what anybody's going to think if you come to the altar. Let me tell you, friend, if you're like me, you struggle and sometimes you get to worrying and sometimes you get to fretting and sometimes you get fearful of the situations around you and you need God to take care of that for you. I invite you to come to the altar this morning. There might be some of you in here this morning, it's been a while since you've just thanked God for His provision and for His faithfulness and for His goodness to you, and you want to proclaim it here this morning. Maybe you want to come to the altar and just thank God for being so faithful all these years. Maybe you're in here this morning and God's dealing with your heart, and it's been a while since you've desired that fellowship. It's been a while since God has filled you up and stirred you up, and you're looking for God to do something great in your life, but you need that desire, you need that fire rekindled in your heart. I invite you to come this morning. He bids you come this morning. How much do you desire Him, Christian? How much do you want to see Him move in your life? And there may be one in here this morning who's cold and indifferent to these things because you don't know the Lord. You're not even sure that if you died, if heaven would be your home, or if your soul would be separated from God and burn in hell for eternity. You're just not sure. If you're in here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I don't even know if I'm saved," will you raise your hand? Just be honest. Nobody looking but me. "Preacher, I don't even know if I'm saved or not." Would you just raise your hand? Nobody looking but me. I wonder if anybody in here raised their hand this morning and said, "Preacher, some way, somehow, some way or another, God spoke to my heart through the message this morning." If that's you, would you raise your hand? It's not too late to come to the altar. If God's dealing with your heart, don't pass up an opportunity to get a hold of Him. You just come up to this altar and you pray. It don't matter how long the invitation goes. God's dealing with your heart. You just obey Him.